My question to you should all know me, and I'm doing this talk about imaging and stuff. I'm from Jessica at the moment and fairly active as application manager, so I have a little bit of experience in this area. And, I didn't want to hold this talk, so the first slide is about not holding talks, a short introduction to the Q&A process, what we could change, and a little slide I just did a few hours ago because some things were missing and I wanted to just put them in and we'll discuss them later. Okay, not holding talks, very important. It's not a good idea to know people who have a schedule, so just run away. I gave up after like 5 minutes, and that's why I'm standing here. And as always, don't look like you know something. Now, the real talk. We need a new maintainer process. There was a presentation at DevConf, which was quite good and described why we need this complex process and complex checks. And if anyone doesn't know about it, he should just fetch the video and everything is okay. Just a few main points. We need new people who want to help Debian because old people drop out and the distribution is growing all the time. On the other hand, it's not further irritating. We can't give out accounts just because we want, because it's creating security problems on our machines, which isn't good. And we have quality assurance problems because not everybody who wants to help really knows what he's doing. It's not a problem, they can learn, but we can't give them upload permissions instantly. The last point is a bit complicated. I personally think it's important to keep the number of developers relatively low, so we have at least, we should know everybody who's working in the project. Not personally, but you should have an idea who this person is, what he's doing, and probably should have already talked with him via IRC only. It's my personal idea of the project, but that's probably not what most people think. Okay. Security process. It's fairly easy. We have interested persons, they meet already existing developers, they advocate them, and after like 4 months at the moment, they get an application manager. That's not planned actually. It should be possible to give them application managers very fast. I shouldn't do that all the time. We aim to ensure that people have the same philosophical background as we have. So there's a part of the process which just checks knowledge about free software and whatever is related to that. And the other part is checking that they are actually able to help the project. That's not so important in one aspect because it's just needed to give a reasoning to give them an account, but why should we give accounts for people who don't help us? I mean, it's useless. After the application manager has finished the checks, the report is created, front desk checks it, which is not very useful at the moment. The account manager checks it a few months later and creates an account after that. Well, not the account manager at the moment because it's not able to create accounts. The actual checks are not very good in my opinion. We have a lot of questions. Most of them are used to do like, what would you do if? Which is not very interesting, doesn't help very much, and just shows that people are able to read the documentation.
No, it shows that they are not, but that's another...
Yeah, there are, curiously, there are enough people who are not able to read the documentation, so it's has its advantages. There are a few tasks added in the last 18 months or so. The meditation thing is fairly old. I added the fix an RC bug and do some work and prepare an NMU and some stuff like that to see that people are actually able to perform their duties as developer. The last thing is something most applicants don't know, but application managers are supposed to look at other work, not only what at the packages that are submitted to the application manager, but also on to see what they are doing in the BTS and how they are interacting with other developers and users and bug submitters and stuff like that. It's not included in the report at the moment, which is not very good, I think, but I'm planning to change it in the next time. There will be a quite complicated change in the next month. Nobody knows about it, but even Ganef is looking a bit irritated at the moment. But I'm fond of what I want. we can go to the next slide probably.
You haven't had there the new kind of
We have
in queue that they have activities there.
Yeah, we have Dark instance, Debian archive scripts instance on one of Ganef's machines, but it's not mandatory to use it, and only a few application managers actually use it. I'm not sure how many, and most of them aren't active anyway. So I just see the reports after they were submitted, and only 8 or 9 people have submitted reports in the last 6 months, which is not very good. Yeah.
From my point of view, seeing what's built on that from that archive, there's about 1 or 2 packages a week, which is what
yeah.
The
but this corresponds to the fact that half of the applicants in the process at the moment are processed by 3 application managers, which are Jörg, me, and Craig Small, who's doing less work than earlier, but still does quite a lot. Not very good, but he does a lot of work. So, the advantages of the Q&A process. We have the problem that many people are interested in being associated with Debian because it's cool and everybody should have a cool thing in their life and a cool email address and stuff like that. And the very long process filters these people. They just drop out after like 8 weeks or so and get rejected after some time. The questions at the moment lead to reading documentation. After some time, people learn. It's weird, but takes some time and they understand what we want to hear from them, and we hope that they actually apply the procedures they've learned. Okay. We have also a long time to educate people in the skills part before they get upload permissions, which means we can ask them to do sponsoring tasks like checking other people's packages. NMUs are very important because daily quality assurance needs NMUs a lot, and I want that new maintainers invest time in helping to assure the quality of the whole distribution. Okay, next slide. What are the problems of the Q&A process? It sucks up a lot of time, and it's lost. We have a lot of answers which get in the report and are lost after that, and we will not see them again. This is obviously not very good because a lot of time is invested in writing them and checking them and discussion about them, and it's not very good. This hits people who are very experienced and are application managers at Fort, so we need that time. And people who are very motivated and want to join the project, and we also need those people. So it's a bit, it's not really good to waste their time. The consequence is change checks to be based on actual tasks. That means doing stuff that helps Debian instantly, not after they got the account, but like in 10 minutes. So what can we do to use such a task-based chain? I've started this with two applicants. One of them is not very active. I hope that will change. And the other one is Russ Albury. Some of you should know him. He's quite active on Debian release at the moment with one of the tasks I gave him. And, well,
he's the maintainer of in the...
No, yeah, he's upstream maintainer of a new server and Kerberos and stuff like that. He's fairly active in open source. So he's, anyway, an applicant who would join instantly, but, well, I can't abuse him. Okay, so what can applicants do? They can help maintainers to clean up the backtracking system. Most packages, larger packages, have a lot of untagged, unchecked bugs. All bugs should be classified. That's reflected in the changes in the BTS recently. We have a new overview which shows bugs ordered in categories like patched and or patch provided, won't fix, confirmed, unreproducible, and unclassified. And that's where new maintainers can help without getting further permissions. They can look at bug reports, check if they apply, see if they can reproduce them, and perhaps find a solution, a patch, whatever. Next point are WMPP bugs. We have a lot of them, most are useless. We have requests for packages that are 2 years old or more, for packages that are long dead upstream, are not developed anymore and actually not needed anymore. So it could be an idea to ask new maintainers to go like check 15 of the older bugs and close them, tag them, whatever, retitling them. And, well, I'm keeping this very short because I have further slides about it. They can do sponsored QA uploads and NMUs. We also need that all the time because Debian is fairly buggy. And what Russ doing at the moment is transition support and management. He's asking maintainers to coordinate and is filing bugs to document what the situation is. And this is actually something that the release team is doing most of the time, but they always need help. So we could use active new maintainers for that too. So what can they do to, yeah, I've already did that one, this was the slide, but we just skip it. The purpose of this task is more or less that they can show to use the control bugs, that they can communicate with maintainers, with bug submitters, with other developers, and stuff like that. Cleaning up WMPP shows the same skills and knowledge about QA processes because it's important to understand that you can't just close intend to adopt or so, because we actually need maintainers and sounds fairly dumb that I'm saying it, but I have seen people who have done that. So that's not very good. Okay. It shows social skills, especially that, because there are many intent packages by people who have no time or not enough. They don't know enough about Debian to provide proper packages, don't find sponsors, and you need people who communicate this problem and help them either to learn enough to provide the packages or drop the effort. Okay, next slide. We need people who go through our package list and find packages that need help, which means often packages which have a lot of RC bugs, a lot of important older bugs, and find a way to solve their problems. That's either uploading a new version as NMU or QA upload, or removing them, or asking for a new maintainer.
There are plenty of people that refuse or that are against the idea of non-maintainers.
I know, I'm not one. of war. Well, so, it's, well, we will have a talk about it anyway tomorrow, about QA uploads and moves by non-maintainers, but and external contribution. But I believe we can use every help we can get, and it's not always enough to just provide patches in the BTS, but sometimes you just need someone who's caring about a package and preparing a new upload. Because sometimes no developer is interested in a package, but some non-maintainers are.
I think the important part is that the sponsor is aware that if something goes wrong with the NMU, he's also responsible for fixing it because he has uploaded it. And
yeah.
Of course, if the uploader later says, "Oh no, I only sponsor that," that's not okay.
That's
but
not
the
okay.
important part is part, I think the important part is that the sponsor is aware that he's also responsible for the NMU.
Yeah.
I
have the impression that some people in the project have gotten the whole idea of sponsoring from. It's not, I just check a package and upload it and that's it. They are responsible for this upload. Every bug they introduce with this upload is their responsibility. They can forward it to the applicant or a new maintainer or interested person who is doing the packaging, but if that person isn't answering, they have to fix it. It's their work. And some people who are going over Debian Mentors and just uploading stuff without actually checking it or caring about the package enough to be able to check it. Okay. Here we go. Yes. Communication with the release team. people who do this in the new maintainer application are probably a good example for people who will join the release team in a few months. I'm very sure that Ross Albury will do it in the next year. Okay, yeah, after this. Disadvantages of this idea. We can't use it for documentation, new maintainers, because all of the tasks are listed are very concentrated on them. There are other possibilities like translation and coordination of translations that are also non-scala business. Most application managers need to learn more about quality assurance. It's a sad fact that most of our application managers are not very informed about EPAM's internal processes. I see a lot of really bad application reports, and some application managers just don't know what's what has changed since they've learned about Debian. That's a big problem anyway with the normal system or just task-based checks, because even the questions show the problems and they can't help to educate new maintainers. We need something. We need to do something about it, but we have no alternatives as application managers, and so we just have to do with them. Wait until we have enough resources to replace them or ask them to, read about Debian's policies and come back later. It's a problem. It needs a lot more time for application managers. The current questions are very easy. You go to a list of questions, see the answers, okay, fix me, it's very easy. You can do a complete application in 4 hours or so, and are done with it. With such a task-based check system, we need to invest a lot of time. We need to find tasks, we need to check what the applicant is doing and help them. We can't believe that they just know how to work with it, and it's just an educational program. That's what else. Okay. And the last part is application reports are becoming less comparable because we have individual tasks and can't say he couldn't answer this question and this one is performing a lot worse than another applicant. It creates a higher load on application managers and front desk and the account manager. Okay, next slide, I don't have that much time.
I see another disadvantages. I see another disadvantages of your procedure, the procedure you explained.
I haven't answered you, sorry.
I see another disadvantage.
Just tell it.
The disadvantage is when you find or you sponsor package from the upstream, and when the upstream want to be involved in Debian, it does not necessarily want to know anything about QA. He is focusing on this package.
Well, does he need an account then? He could just use sponsored uploads. I'm not for giving accounts out to everyone. It's definitely a problem we have that there are too many developers at the moment. People who would just need 5 uploads a year and everything would be okay. And there are plans to remove inactive developers as far as I know. That's application account managers area, so he should comment on that. Okay, we could discuss this later. I think I would want to go through all my slides and then come back. Okay, advantages of check-based end checks. Becomes a lot more interesting. You don't have to go through a list of questions and then just quote from the policy or developer's reference. It attracts other kinds of applicants. At the moment we have a lot of applicants who are just interested in getting an account and don't have the needed technical skills but know how to answer questions. And on the other hand, we have people who are interested in helping Debian but are not able to concentrate on, I don't know, forged questions for PMP and 35 for TNS at the moment. So we should change that a bit to attract another kind of person. Real tasks help to educate people. We don't need a whole educational program, but it helps to just give them some advice how to process their tasks and how to help inactive maintainers or stuff like that. It's better to do it with real tasks than what if something would happen, what would you do? It's just better. And the best bit is everything helps Debian. If you do a QA upload, it helps Debian. It's no problem. That's just a wonderful thing about it. Okay, that's almost my last slide. Consequences for the QA team. We need to accept help from outsiders. This means we need to document some tasks better. We need to allow people to just drop in and help and change a lot of things to just make them accessible for other people. That means, for example, we need to give read access to some tools like medicine or MA history or stuff like that to non-maintainers. At the moment they are kept on project machines and only accessible through shell access, and non-maintainers don't have that. So we should, I don't know, for creating a web interface for all these tools, it's fairly easy. You just do a CGI with an input field and give out the output. I believe we have a medicine CGI at the moment. You have that?
No, okay. But if we have a medicine light that you can run on your own machine.
Yeah, but it's not. It's
and
not.
And you have packages that you know which lags about half a day or a day.
And I developed this week a web front end for medicine.
Das
ist nicht offiziell. I think when you develop a new frontend, you should ask a question if that information is supposed to be open to the whole world or just to people in the new development queue. If you want just available for new developers, you maybe think about creating an alias project or something like that and adding new maintainers to that project.
No, I actually want to give free read access to almost all tools we have.
But okay, so there are tools, I think, like MIA history is a bit difficult because
yes,
of personal data. I think that
is not personal data. I don't understand why it's personal data if you give read access to, 900 developers. Yeah. At the moment, 900 people can just go in there.
Yeah, it's limited to a group of 900 people and not a few millions who have internet
access. Yeah, but I don't see a difference.
I see.
Actually,
difference. Because we are all part of the project, so we have access to the project data.
Has anyone actually looked at the stuff in MIA?
Yes.
You did, and you did? Okay. Yeah, well, six people or so. It's mostly not very personal.
Yeah, mostly, but and can get indexed.
There's a problem about doing it without asking for permissions. We shouldn't open our archives, but we should try to do. If we write mails in the future, we should just ask if we can publish it. It helps.
Ask who?
But the next thing.
Well, Mark, I think there are a lot of tools we really could try to open. I would say medicine, for example, is something we definitely could open to the world. Because the information is public, it's just medicine is, in my opinion, is the nicest tool to access this way. So that would be cool, of course. But there's other things I think we really need to be very careful about. I think something like MIA history is more problematic. And I think what's important is we should start with the easy ones. And I don't have any issue to say, oh, I'm your application manager. If you need some output from this tool, please tell me and I will just send it back to you.
Well,
for example,
restricts access to people who have an application manager. At the moment, we have like 4 months of time before you get an application manager, even after you applied. We need to cope with that.
But I think that the bug is something else in that approach. The bug is not such a...
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just told that this company should be ended.
Yeah, okay.
An example here. Yesterday I saw at the end a few lines about the maintainer because he was wondering who he was and what he was doing inside the VM.
Mm.
And I give him the answer because he asked me.
Yeah.
So we can do it on IRC, for example, if somebody asks you.
But if you give the information out anyway, why don't create a web?
No, because it's different. But then we should. Okay.
Well,
it
we should
proceed and then.
Yeah, we'll discuss it later, okay.
Yeah.
And then we run to you, yeah.
Okay. So, the last thing is actually the QA team should provide a list of tasks that can be done in the application process. Things that can be checked, like we know this package needs help, and or we have a list of packages that need help, and we have transitions that are pending. We have people who need to be asked if they're really MIA or just not active at the moment, but will come back in 2 months or so, and we should make this more open at the moment. It's very complicated at the moment to get information. It's spread all over the QA pages. You have to look there and there and there. It should change. Okay. So, well, let's not do this. I'm done. Okay.
Can you get over for the package maintainers?
Well, that's one of the main problems I have at the moment. I want to away from questions, but I have no idea how to do this for translation or documentation people.
Why?
I need to work on that.
They have just other tasks, or not?
Yeah, but...
documentation tasks. I have some templates for the documentation tasks are usually much harder.
I think it's easier in a way because people applying for documentation, new maintainership will almost always be active already, and they will always already have a track record in that area. So you can just take what they have already done as the task, really, which is what happened in my case.
Yes, but what I would like to add is that we have a problem. Once the key is inside the key ring, you can upload a package, even if you have no knowledge.
It's no problem.
That's a problem.
It's
a problem.
People don't know anything about package uploads. I don't know
anything about package uploads.
But
the project trusts Franz that he won't be uploading things that he doesn't know about.
That's why I think the current TNS and PMP part is very important for people going that route, because at least they will have the policy and procedures in their head, and they will know where to go with questions if they do decide they want to start uploading. you have to trust people in the project a bit to be sensible about using the rights they have. Although on the other hand, I have said before that I wouldn't mind personally if there would be a split in what the rights people get.
Yes, but or trust or...
Yeah.
But if we move to a more task-based situation where we are asking people to learn about uploading if they want to, and then we get all the people that want to do documentation by just like checking the documentation translations that they have done, so what do we do with those two types of people when they get to the end part? Do we separate a new key ring for people just doing maintainer documentation uploads, or we don't allow uploads at all, and we just like put those people able to access the machine to get information about Madison or to get about information or what?
Well, the basic question is first, what is a Debian developer, I think. The question is the Debian developer first a mark of sign that he's a part of our community, and then they have some tasks they can do, for example, upload packages, or is it, oh, a Debian developer is a person who can upload packages. So, but I personally would consider and say, okay, a developer is somebody who is part of our community, who has voting rights, who can access our machines.
And it's trust.
And of course, as part of the community, we trust him as being a good citizen of our community. Something like that. And if you say that, then you can say, okay, and some of them have additional privileges, I would say, or additional tasks to do. Some of them, for example, have the right to remove packages. Others have the right to upload packages. So some of them have access to box that other people have don't have access to, for example, to Murphy. I don't have access to Murphy, I don't mind at all. So I really think we should say we have the Debian healing, which is the people with us. Some of them, of course, it's the beginning, probably most of them, have the right to upload packages. But if somebody says he's doing documentation, he won't be added. And if the legacy says, oh, I want to upload a package, he goes to some additional, let's say, package task skills or whatever, and then after that can upload.
What I said just now about not having any skills in debugging is nonsense, of course, because within the context of Debian Installer, I know what I'm doing and I can do it. I would never start a new package, especially not a library package.
But I mean that, for example, if a person doesn't go to the philosophy and procedures, mm-hmm. and then it becomes a DDM, the Debian Documentation Maintainer. Mm-hmm. So, is it a person of the project? Does it have voting rights? Does it have
it's a core part of the project.
Yes. Anyone needs to go to PNP, there's no way around it.
There's no way around it.
There's only a way around it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But then he becomes a Debian Documentation Maintainer or whatever we call it, and what is he? Is he a Debian developer with voting rights, or is it just a Documentation Maintainer that kind of has access to machines? That's another question that has to be answered to.
And as an applicant manager, I had a problem with a French translator. He did translation in the past. He was thinking that he had the rights to have a DBM address, email address. He goes to join. If you feel that's in philosophy and procedure at least, then I took the application and I said, no, you are. It was completely inactive for more than 1 year, and the only rational reason to reject him was that, no, I can't insert your key in the queue because you have the possibility to upload.
That's a wrong reason.
That's true, but he had worked a lot in the past. And
if he was inactive for a year, that's a good reason to reject him.
Yeah,
but rejecting him because
yes, but he was pretending that, you know, he was threatening me. In fact, mm-hmm. Sorry, but that's true.
Hey, but
first, thank you,
speaking.
So we have a huge flatware
to send program. Thank you, speaking. Oh, man, it's not a line, it's a privilege.
5 minutes for discussion.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think we should talk too much about documentation people uploading, grabbing packages.
Yeah, because
it can just be the other way around.
We have like one page. Documentation developer a year, so it's not worth discussing it at the moment.
Yeah.
And have already asked Franz if he would do application management for the next person who's interested in doing it. He can say he would think about it, but at least that's an option.
So I can translate things and I don't know anything about it.
I think we should come back to the terminal status.
It's always a problem.
I think the real reason why I got in fairly easily in the end is because I showed a broader interest than just documentation. I think that was a large part of the decision. You really want to have people in the project who are interested in Debian and in working on Debian and getting Debian further. You don't want to keep them out because they don't know C or whatever. And
most people in the project don't
know Debian. No, I know that, but they have probably better background than I do a lot of the time.
Yeah. I think one general goal of the NF process is to check whether people are generally interested.
Yeah.
So, and if they are able to show that they're interested in packaging, documentation, or whatever, we can trust them that they do reasonable things, and so we don't have to discuss too much about whether they will abuse things. We should enable people to do stuff.
One of the problems when you sort of use the labor of
new maintainers to propel Debian forward,
yeah,
is that you sort of, you run the danger of exhausting them.
Yeah, but at the moment we ask them to answer stupid questions.
I understand.
I mean, it's using them in another way.
I guess so.
I guess we should use them in a way which helps us.
Some middle ground is probably appropriate, but you should always bear in mind that when you ask people to do a lot of things, and then you reward them with official Debian membership, and then they might become inactive.
We have the same problem at the moment. I believe, Jörg, you have tracked most of your applicants. How many are missing nowadays? 20%?
25%?
30%.
But
I think
that is a
real problem.
Yeah, but
the real thing is that if the task that he described exhausts you, you're not right for Debian.
Yeah. If you're exhausted by doing a bit of work, I don't want people to work like 10 hours a week for 6 weeks. I want them to do a few things to show that they're able to do it.
Okay, so Martin looks like I should say the two final sentences. But you said something that I really want to keep or to take up, and you said we should make a list of possible small tasks that we could give applicants. I think that's a very, very good idea, because there's very often they say, oh, that's a very small thing that should be done, but for whatever reason I don't have time or whatever to do it. And we should just keep the things somewhere so that we can try to get them done.
Yeah, I noticed this problem when I searched a task for us. He needed something to do, but I didn't know what I should ask him to do. So I went around and asked Abba and Steve and release mention people. I think I haven't asked you.
No, no. I would have told him make this not the documentation. It's a task that's currently lying on me.
Well, but it's a task that should make fun. But we need to concentrate the list of tasks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Discussion later at barbecue.
Yeah.
Everything
we
to discuss at barbecue.
In about 4 minutes, we proceed with some small charge.
About
auto tools.
Yeah.